Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And welcome, everybody, to Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Song. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. I am joined by Eric Weideke. And it has just come to my attention, sir, that Mr. Duke, your beard is not as beardly as it was last week.
No, I had to trim it off a little bit. So it's getting warmer weather, so I take it down a little bit.
Okay, so I mean, I was under the impression that we were going for the whole Duck Dynasty look. So it's a little shocking, actually, to see that it's actually been trimmed. It looks good on you, though. Looks good.
Well, thank you.
It does.
All right, so we got some stuff to talk about. The draft is quickly approaching. Next week, I know we're already previewing next week, but next week we're going to have our full 7-round mock draft simulation. We'll go over basically as the computer goes, and we'll make picks for the Dolphins as it goes all the way through 7 rounds. We're still deciding what simulator we're ultimately going to use. For those of you who are watching, if you'd like, you can go to my Twitter account. It's at Lewis D. Sung right there in the what you see there on the screen. If you're listening to this after the fact on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast feed, you can go ahead and check out my Twitter, again, at Lewis D. Song. You can vote which simulator we'll use, because I always want to try to get the opinions of others to see exactly which one is the best one to use. So far, Pro Football Network is the one that is ahead. So if anybody else wants to chime in or give their reasons why some completely off-the-grid simulator is actually the best one out there right now, feel free to let me know. I'd been using the Draft Network up until a couple years ago, and if anybody's interested in why we're not using it anymore, you can go check out Arif Hassan NFL, his expose, as it were, on what's going on at the Draft Network. Really sad what's happening to the fall of an empire. But with all that said, the topic for discussion, until some other folks in the comments decide to kind of change it for us a little bit, what position should the Miami Dolphins be honing in on in the first round? I'm sure we all have our favorites as to where Miami is going to be aiming for this. I'm sure we all have our preferences. We'll go ahead and discuss it in order here. But before we do that, just want to go ahead and mention that, as always, this show is brought to you by our good friends over at prizepicks.com. Prizepicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues, whether that is the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, one of each. It's up to you to decide. Just choose whether your chosen player will get more or less than their projected stats. They give you free squares, special Taco Tuesday promos, Flex Friday specials where you can get your money back if you lose or multiply the amount of money you can normally win. So with offers like that, it's hard to justify not signing up if you're any kind of a fantasy sports fan. So again, use that promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, and they will match up to $100 on your initial deposit when you sign up. That's for everybody who is outside of South Florida. Now, for those of you who are inside South Florida, right now Prize Picks is not available anymore, but I promise you they are still working on a game that will be available for you to use in South Florida. So once again, for those of you who are listening, use the promo code 5, F-I-V-E, and they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. All right, gentlemen. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys have your says first. I will go ahead and kind of react to what you have to say. I have my preference for where the Dolphins should go. And it actually, it's very interesting because I'll explain why. But I want to hear from you guys first. So I'll start with you, Eric, since your mic is the one that's currently unmuted. So you can go ahead and go first and express to me what it is that you want the Dolphins to do in the first round. What is your position of choice and why?
Yes, I mean, I guess if we're just zeroing in on positions, it has to be offensive line, whether it's a tackle or somebody on the interior like a Graham Barton that can play and give you positional versatility. Because the thing is, when you're, it's kind of cheating with trench play because you can get like two or three positions out of any one trench player, especially if a guy can play at tackle, guard, and center. I mean, if I'm looking at just a player, the number one player I want on the board, if he's on the board at 21, running up to go get him, is Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. That would be if I'm just giving you one player who's on the board at 21 that I'm taking, my no matter what player, it's him. But I don't expect that he's going to be there. And given the way that I see the board playing out, I think it's going to be an offensive lineman that the Dolphins end up targeting. And I do think that that's ultimately the best route they could end up going, you know, realistically, assuming Thomas isn't on the board. But I would generally say offensive line unless Brian Thomas Jr. is available at 21.
So your whole premise is that you'll take on offensive linemen unless specifically Brian Thomas is available.
Yes.
Why Brian Thomas out of everybody else? Like, see, even some NFL circles are looking at him and being like, okay, he's not the number one guy you should be aiming for. So what about Brian Thomas specifically would have you upend your whole offensive line is the top priority?
So, I mean, the thing with Brian Thomas that I think that I want, like, imagine what we all thought the Dolphins could have maybe gotten from Chase Claypool at the end of last season. Times 100, times 1,000. You're looking at a guy who's a size speed freak. You know, this is a guy that's 6'3", 215, ran a 4.34 out of LSU, and it shows on tape. He's great at the point of the catch. And then on top of that, this is also the NFL is a league where you're continually trying to build on strengths, for one. And then for two, you have to be looking ahead. Devonta Smith just got $75 million from the Eagles. I don't know how that's going to affect Jalen Waddle, but it will affect Jalen Waddle at some point, which tangentially affects the Dolphins and their wide receiver room. We don't know how long Tyreek Hill is going to be. You know, he wants to play out the remainder of his contract. Whether he goes beyond that, we don't know. So ultimately, when I'm looking at it, number one, Brian Thomas, I think he's a fantastic talent. Number two, the Dolphins' wide receiver room situation isn't as lock, shock, and barrel as I think some people like to believe that it is over the long term. And then the third thing here with that is I think wide receiver is one of those premium positions where you can have three legit studs and without really getting diminishing returns on it for the most part in your offense.
So, Duke, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you do you have a rebuttal to anything that he said, or would you like to make an addition to that?
I don't have a rebuttal. I look at it in terms of the players that's available. I don't necessarily say a certain position that I would choose. I think, really, in all honesty, the two positions that that Miami could, you know, not counting specialists, of course. The only positions that I think Miami could just really get an F minus in this draft would be if they took a quarterback or a running back at 21. It's just those players aren't seeing the field this year. Just a mistake. Now, I would understand the logic behind a quarterback, for example. But there were, you know, I think Chris Greer said today that they're going to be, after the draft, they're going to step up the Tua extension talk. So, yeah, that's about the only position that they can really screw up. Now, for me, I like two offensive linemen, and those are the two offensive linemen that I want at 21. I don't think they will be there, but these are the guys that I want. That's Troy Fatanu from Washington and Talise Fuaga from Oregon State, I believe. These are tackle prospects that are can play inside at guard. So they solve a problem this year and a problem next year. If you get Troy Fatanu, and I watched this guy at the combine. I didn't watch the combine when it happened. I had to go back and watch it basically 2 months after the fact. But I watched it, and this guy moves like somebody 30 or 40 pounds lighter, just really good on his feet. He's an both of them are aggressive and mean guys in the run game. You know, we all remember Bullygate. Well, these guys are bullies in the run game. Both of them have really long arms, so they can move out to tackle after Teron Armstead is moved on from, whether he retires or whether they release him, whatever the deal is. I like those two guys at 21. If they are there, I'm taking them. I would accept Graham Barton at 21. The Dolphins, I don't think value, and I was having this discussion today on the Finsider with someone. I don't think the Dolphins value guard as much as fans do. They have spent a lot on tackle. They've spent a lot at center. They kind of tend to bargain hunt at guard. And I think they feel like they can get by at guard. Now, whether that's a proper strategy or not, I tend to believe that guard has lower positional value relative to other positions. So if you're taking a guy like the name that was thrown around there was Jackson Powers Johnson. Is that right? Is it Johnson Powers Jackson or Jackson Powers Johnson? Whichever
one. Jackson Powers Johnson, but he's falling out of the first round in pretty much every mock lately.
I just call him JPJ because it's easier to spell. So if you take him there, he's got some center versatility, but he's a guy that you play at a guard. Aaron Brewer is your guard. Aaron Brewer, I think is how he wants his name pronounced. So you take a guy that doesn't have tackle flexibility. You're solving a single problem, but you're using it. It's like you've got a budget to buy a Ferrari, and you use all of that budget to buy a Toyota Corolla. So I'm not a big fan of a guard that high. That said, Graham Barton is an exception because he can play center. And if you have to throw him out there at tackle, he has experience at tackle. So I'm okay with that. After that, I think it's really just the players that would be available. I wouldn't mind an edge rusher that's available. I'm definitely down for the receivers. You know, in the discussion that I had today, in the last 20 years, the Dolphins have used 13 draft picks on offensive linemen between rounds 1 and 3. So first, second, or third round, 13 picks in the last 20 years. And that same time span, they've used 17 picks on receivers total. One of those picks was Elijah Higgins last year, who was going to be a tight end convert. So really 16 picks at receiver. They just don't tend to go a lot. Now, they've used some draft picks to get those guys. So to me, the old way hasn't been working that much, getting the offensive line. They feel like they can get by. I wouldn't mind a receiver there. Now, the receivers that are available, it depends. Do you get the value that you want for them at 21? For example, I'm a Xavier Worthy fan. I think, how do you get better add more speed. How do you get better at being faster? Add more speed. So I would 100% add him. Is he a good value at 21? I don't know. That's not necessarily for me to decide. However, I think a trade down option there and getting one of those guys. I kind of foresee the draft as going a certain way. I think it starts really at three with New England. I think if we expect to go chalk, they're taking a quarterback at three. But let's say they trade out, or Los Angeles trades out from five. They've been talking up J.J. McCarthy. They're obviously not taking a quarterback. So let's say they trade out. And this was on, excuse me, this was on another show this week. I watched, they were talking about trading San Francisco trading Brandon Ayuk. The Chargers would be a perfect fit for Brandon Ayuk, but they're not trading five for him. But if you trade back to Minnesota and get 11 and 23, and then trade 23 for Brandon Ayuk, they're taking a tackle at 11, probably somebody like J.C. Latham, who is a right tackle. That's what they need. So I think there's going to, let's say that scenario happens or something along those lines happens. Somebody's trading out. I think you're going to see a tackle run between 10 and 20. You've got several tackle needy teams in there that are going to draft guys like J.C. Latham. I think Joe Alt's going top 10. So he's out of the discussion.
He's practically a Titan already in all the mock drafts.
You're going to get. And I would not be surprised. I even saw a mock where he goes to Los Angeles. So he's out of this discussion. So you've got guys like Latham, Fuaga, Fashanu, Mims. You've got these tackles in here, and you've got teams like Cincinnati that may want to take a tackle. You've got teams like Pittsburgh that probably want to take a tackle. Los Angeles is probably going to want to take a tackle. New Orleans. How many first-round picks have they used on offensive linemen? They're going to take another one probably. So you're going to have this run on tackles. And then I think in the late first is where you get these wide receiver needy teams. So let's say someone does move for IU, whether it's the Chargers or someone else. Then you're going to have a wide receiver run probably from, say, 18 to 32. Well, make it 33 because Carolina has the 33rd pick and they need a receiver. So if you want one of those top kind of 10 to 12 receivers, you're probably going to need to do it at 21 or no further back than 27 where Buffalo's picking. I think Buffalo's 27. So that's kind of how I see this draft going. So if you want one of those receivers and a lot of the other good ones, a lot of your top 12, take your 12 to 14, 15 receivers in this draft, most, if not all, are gone before 55. So 55, you're in your other tiers of receivers. I would like to get one before then, be it in a trade back. I prefer not to trade up. Now, if somebody falls, if there's a gas mask incident with someone and Roma Dunze, for example, falls and he's there at 15, would you trade up for that? Something happened. He's not doing it. So that's not happening. But let's say you want Xavier Worthy. You need to get him somewhere before pick 33. Now, I've seen a lot of mocks where he's, or a lot of draft sites and things. He's not going to be there at 55. He's probably gone before in the 40s. Same thing for guys like Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett. And if I can, I will send you guys an Instagram of Xavier Leggett. His accent sounds about as bad as mine. That's worth drafting at 21, just for that reason alone. But in seriousness, these guys are going to go to these wide receiver needy teams, especially if you add San Francisco to that mix. So if you want one, you're going to have to get one quick. So my preference out of all this, I've gone very long-winded with this. My preference in this, trade down three or four spots, get your receiver of choice, and then use your pick 55 to get your offensive lineman that you want. Because there should be a good offensive lineman at 55. Whether that's Cooper Beebe, whether that's JPJ, whether that's Christian Haynes. I don't know where the draft people are on somebody like Zach Zenter or There's another name out there that's in my head. But if you get a guy like that, that's a great value for an interior offensive line. So you kind of fix your need there, but you've gotten that one guy in a really top heavy and wide receiver rich draft that you want to get. And you got to get him early because I just don't see them being there at 55. And you're certainly not getting anybody that's going to take away or win a spot over Berrios or Ezukama after 55 because you don't pick until 158. And unless you hit the jackpot with another Tyreek Hill, you're not getting that guy that late. It's just not going to happen. So that's my overall preference. Are there other guys that they would take? Absolutely. I mean, a defensive tackle, an edge rusher. I've even heard the name Cooper DeJean thrown in there. If you add him as a safety, I know fans would probably freak out if Greer took another defensive back, but you have two safeties right now, and then you have Elijah Campbell who plays safety, but that's about it. So would that make sense? Absolutely. I don't think fans would like it, but I understand the reasoning behind it. So,
well, I'll go ahead and I'll offer these thoughts. As far as safety is concerned and Cooper DeJean, you're right. I would kind of have a freak out moment because I'm thinking to myself, we already know that we have Nick Needham in our back pocket. We already know that Jalen Ramsey is probably going to be playing all over the place, which probably includes safety. So you technically have four. You already have Javon Holland and Jordan Poyer. So, and if you mentioned Elijah Campbell. Elijah Campbell can play. It's not like he's a scrub. As a backup, he's an excellent option. So as far as the safety position is concerned, I get it why people would want it, but I'm sure that they can find a safety. Like Miami has just this uncanny ability to find good safeties in the later rounds. Like Brandon Jones is pretty good. Rashad Jones was, what, a fifth rounder? You have Jeremiah Bell, who was a back in the day, he was a compensatory pick that was made by the Dolphins. So Miami can find safeties. I'm not concerned with finding safeties.
Well, if there's one good thing Greer has done, if you want to talk about how people want to argue about Greer, he will find you an undrafted rookie at cornerback.
Absolutely will.
So, yeah, he's going to get one this year. Just know it because he does. That's what he does. So I don't care what he does with the rest of the picks. There is going to be an undrafted rookie free agent cornerback that makes this team because.
And that's the other thing about why I would not want to go focusing on the secondary, though. Once again, Chris Greer has found he has an uncanny talent of finding these nobodies out of nowhere. Kader Kohu, for God's sakes, he's a fantastic pick for Miami. They drafted Cam Smith last season, and we still haven't even been able to really see him play because Vic Fangio is an ageist in the opposite direction. So I really want to see what Cam Smith can do. I think he can do a lot more than anybody's giving him credit to do. So as far as I'm concerned, the secondary is covered, but I'm looking at what if I'm going to do this, and this is the very first time the Miami Dolphins have had a first round pick in the Mike McDaniel era that they're actually going to use. Whether it's to trade down, maybe they trade all the way out of the first round entirely. I don't know. But they'll be using it for something, and they are using it for draft purposes. If Miami decides to go with any position, and I've been going back and forth on it in my own head because I love the idea of getting a Xavier Worthy because you obviously can tell that Mike McDaniel loves the kid. You can obviously tell that he loves the fact that he's literally the fastest player who's ever ran the combine now. I think he broke Chris Johnson's record officially. So,
John Ross.
Oh, yeah. John Ross's record. Okay, excuse me. I forgot about him because John Ross is – where is he at right now? Nobody knows. Does anybody – is he even still playing?
Well, the record technically – probably goes to either Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson, but I don't think they have recorded times that we have access to. So, rumor was Bo Jackson ran a 4.1 something.
Yeah, the rumored number on Bo is 4.12, but I'm very dubious.
That dude was a freak. Let's just say, of all the people that I've witnessed in my lifetime, as far as pure athletes, that guy is it. Was a stud in Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. which, in my opinion, is the hardest sport to actually play. And would have been a Hall of Fame running back in the pros had he not hurt his hip. So, Just an absolute freak. Deion Sanders is the same. Did you watch the combine a couple years ago when Rich Eisen did his thing and Deion Sanders backpedaled with him for the like 20 yards before he stopped?
Oh my God.
It was funny. He was back pedaling as Rich Eisen was running as hard as he can. And Deion's just kind of staying with him like, dear Lord, it's hilarious. But Worthy has the combine record at this point. The only concern with him that you have, if you take him at 21, he's 165 pounds. That's 20 pounds less than me. Right. And I would go ahead and tell you, if I saw one of them dudes, if I saw Cam Smith and he's not a big dude running at me, I'm not taking that hit. I'm old, but I'm not taking that hit. So, you know, that's a concern at his weight. But if you trade down to 25 and get him, sure, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Lewis.
No, go ahead. I like when other people talk besides me.
No, I was gonna say. I mean, the thing like Duke points out with Worthy, and it's ultimately the reason why I prefer maybe a couple other guys to Xavier Worthy, is it just the wide receiver room would just be way too much same for me. It would be kind of the same skill set, just copy and paste it on top of each other three times between him, Tyreek, and Waddle. You know, that's why I'm looking for somebody that's got a little bit more size, whether it is a Brian Thomas or a Xavier Leggett, it kind of in the second round. You know, listen, for a team that needs a wide receiver three and offensive line help, this is probably the best draft for the Dolphins to address those two positions that we've had in a long time. So, you know, honestly, I mean, yeah, if there is a prospect on the board at 21 that you absolutely have a conviction on and you're like, this is a surefire, you know, set it and forget it guy here for the next decade, you do it. But if that's not the case, I think trading down in this year's class specifically makes just entirely too much sense. Picking up another top 100 pick in the process. I want to get a third top 100.
And one of the things about say Xavier Worthy, and because you mentioned he is very similar to what Miami already has, and there are some other guys in this draft that are very similar, if that's the route Miami decided to go. The questions that I would have there would be, number one, how do they still feel about Eric Azukama? Obviously, he was in the plans last year before his injury. If he's healthy, he's still going to be in the plans. I don't think they have forgotten about him. And he's your size guy, 6'2", what, 220, 215, something like that. So he's a size guy. If you go with a guy like Xavier Worthy, what you are doing, and a lot of fans, I think, maybe get caught up in this. Well, we don't need to draft a wide receiver three. Well, he's wide receiver two years from now. That's why you get him now, because Hill's not going to be here forever. And Jalen Waddle is going to get his extension. He's probably going to be in the same neighborhood as he's probably going to be between the 25 and 30 million range. I think if they want to get it done, they need to get it done before Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson get their contracts, because they're going to reset the market. And he's not in that stratosphere as far as statistical stuff, but he's going to get up there. I think the Smith contract is a good barometer. So he's probably going to get, say, 26, 27 million a year. And he's worth that. And he's going to take over wide receiver one duties when Hill is gone, whether that's next season or the season after that. But you're drafting a guy there in the first round to be wide receiver two on a cheap contract after Hill is gone. So I think, I hadn't heard all of Greer's press conference today, but I think he implied or said that you draft with basically the future in mind. You don't draft for what you need right now. And that would be a move that he would make. Maybe that's a hint that that's where they're looking, but that would be my take as to why they would take somebody like Worthy, or say somebody like Roman Wilson, who's again a smaller player who would fit that kind of what they already have, but he's a replacement for a guy down the road, not necessarily right now. So if they still feel Azukama can be that dude, and right now, if they don't address the position, I think Eric Azukama's wide receiver three. So I it depends on what they want to do. It's going to be fun. And as you mentioned, Lewis, that this is the first round pick in the Mike McDaniel era. The last two
years. That's actually going to be used for draft purposes. Even if they trade out of the first round, it's still a draft purpose, not going to get a player.
Yeah, I have not been excited for the draft in a couple of years simply because what's the point? They don't have a first round pick. And usually that's the night that gets you excited, right? You're looking forward to it. All day Thursday, you're sitting there like, oh, it's the draft tonight, the draft tonight. And I wasn't like that. And the draft got here really quickly. This year, I've been excited for the draft, and it is dragging. It's a whole another week before we get there. So now that I'm excited about the draft, I'm looking forward to what they do. They're trading out of the first round. Just plan on it because, of course, they're going to do that to me.
Well, even if they do that, it'll be for a good purpose. I have been advocating at this point that the Dolphins need to find a partner to trade down and get something. I like Eric's mindset, get another top 100 pick. I don't know if they're going to get that lucky. I think that at this point, we might have to just settle for a fourth rounder. It feels like this class is so talented. Everybody wants to trade down. There was one simulator that I went on, and this is the one that, it's the NFL mock draft database. I think you guys have probably all both heard of it. This is the most trade happy algorithm that I have ever met in my entire life. After I had already traded down with Detroit to get picks, Buffalo came charging up and gave me basically their entire draft class to give me to go and get a wide receiver. And I proceeded to pick like 12 players just based on those picks alone. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that people are going to keep a lot of their picks a lot closer to the vest, because quantity at this point is a lot better than just raw quality. If you're Buffalo, and right now, if there's any need that Buffalo has right now, it's a wide receiver. And I haven't seen Buffalo going out of their way to talk to a lot of free agent wide receivers. I haven't seen them try to reach out to Odell Beckham. So far, Miami is still the only team that's had any interest in him. And Chris Greer made it a point to say today that there is nothing imminent as far as him. And Barry implied that it's because of money. Okay, fine, whatever. OBJ wants more money than the Dolphins think he's worth. That's fine. I'm not necessarily banging the table for Odell Beckham. I feel like he would be a very big help to the team this year. But if they decide to pass on, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I haven't seen Buffalo reaching out to Tyler Boyd at all. I haven't seen Buffalo reach out to Michael Thomas at all. So it's very plainly obvious, as the headset on my head, that Buffalo is going to be looking for a wide receiver because they have to replace Stephon Diggs. They have to replace Stephon Diggs. You cannot go into the draft and not come away with a first-round wide receiver after losing Josh Allen's number one target for the past 4 years. It's just not going to happen. Like, you would be disrespecting your quarterback. You would be making your offense that much more vulnerable. And I don't think there's anybody in the second round, as much talent as we're talking about, nobody that the Buffalo Bills can potentially take in the second round is going to be able to match up with what Stephon Diggs did. And right now, Buffalo's wide receiver room isn't exactly the most stacked thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to go ahead and just pull up their roster right now, just so everybody can kind of get an idea of...
Well, I can tell you the top three pass catchers right now that's on the roster.
Go for it.
It's Khalil Shakir, I think it was a fifth or sixth round pick from Boise State. Okay. They just signed Curtis Samuel. Right. And Dalton Kincaid.
Well, Dalton Kincaid, yeah, he's a tight end though. So,
there's your top three targets. So,
you have 30-year-old Mac Hollins.
It depends how they feel about a guy like Shakir and Samuel. Do they want a guy that's going to get more targets? And again, they're looking at it like, well, this is a guy that's going to be here for 5 years. So, these guys may not be here for 5 years. That's a team that you got. That's a landmine. Like, if you want a receiver, they're not taking one. They're not waiting until the second round. Kansas City, they're iffy. But Rashee Rice has had some legal troubles. I don't know who else they have on the roster. I think they traded for or signed Hollywood Brown.
They did.
So they need help at receiver. And they also need to get some younger contracts. So they're an offensive tackle team. They're a wide receiver team. But anybody can do anything. But you got Cincinnati may look at one because they've got T. Higgins on the franchise tag. What are they going to do after him? And they got to sign Ja'Marr Chase to a big deal. So they're going to need another receiver. They lost Tyler Boyd to free agency, who hasn't signed yet, but he's not back. So they may take a receiver. So really,
T. Higgins is, Duke, T. Higgins is not happy. He's going to play there, but he wanted to trade.
But yeah, he's not going to be there next year.
Yeah.
So you've got from 17 to 32, these teams that want a receiver or would need a receiver. Now, all those teams aren't taking a receiver, but I've even seen somewhere that Dallas might want a receiver. So you've got, again, all these landmines that if you want a receiver, this class is very deep for about 20 players. And after that, it's kind of if you wait till 55, you're picking at the back end of that. And do you want to be doing that? You know, you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. I think he's a Dolphin if the Dolphins strike out by 55. If they don't get a receiver by 55, he'll be a Dolphin after the draft.
I mean, again, I'm not opposed to it, but I really think I cannot imagine.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
That Mike McDaniel's going to sit there and just let Chris Greer load up on defense again. There's no way. Like, there's going to be an offensive player of some kind. I really believe that. And even in the sense, because people, I was talking about yesterday on Twitter about how Jalen Phillips is basically making it a point to say he's going to be ready for the season. Like, when you say that you are going to be ready for the season, the implication is that I will be ready for week one. It's dead obvious to everyone that at some point in 2024, Jalen Phillips is going to play. That doesn't require news. That's not breaking news. It's like, oh, he's going to be healthy at some point during the season. Duh. I think, duh. Yes, of course he's going to play at some point. So for him to go out of his way to say, I'm going to be ready for the season, the implication is that week one, Jalen Phillips is going to be out there, whether he's at 80% or another percentage entirely. But the implication is that he wants to be out there for week one. So that means that you have Jalen Phillips that can't count on yet, but it's there. There's an option there. You have Shaq Barrett, who's still on the team right now. And you obviously are going to have your guys in the middle, defensive tackles, Zach Sealer. You've got a whole army of defensive tackles that they're going to have to weed through to see who's going to be the guy in that regard. So with that in mind, Miami has some options here. They don't necessarily need to get a pass rusher either if we're going to go ahead and count on Jalen Phillips. Now, there's a question here that we're going to go ahead and bring this up. It's from Anthony Manzano. It's again, we're Pulse of Fins Nation. This is Fins Nation giving their pulse. So Anthony Manzano, guys with the quarterback, needy teams in the top 10, where would be the highest you would trade up for hypothetically if Joe Alt fell out of the top 10? So Duke, I'm going to go ahead and let you address this as the real draft expert between the three of us in the room.
Well, that's I don't know about all that.
I said in the room, in the room.
Again, I don't know about all that. you're selling Eric short there.
No, I'm giving you the
okay,
title.
That's fair.
No, I'm going to go ahead and say Joe Alt doesn't fall out of the top 10 outside of a Laremy Tunsil type deal. There are too many teams that need a tackle that are going to or want Joe Alt. He's the prospective top tackle in this class. Tennessee needs a tackle. You could argue Chicago needs a tackle. You could argue Atlanta needs a tackle. Heck, you could even argue that the Jets at 10 need a tackle, even though they signed Tyron Smith and whatever. So I don't think that they are going to – he's going to fall. I wouldn't trade up into the top 10 anyway, just based on the other comment that came in. You just don't have a lot of assets to move up. You're talking about to move that far. You're maybe selling your 2025 first. The guy that I would consider a trade up for, if he's there, would be Troy Fatanu. And if he makes it past Seattle, I've seen every mock has him going to Seattle because he played at Washington, and one of his coaches is now a coach for the Seahawks. But they have two tackles. Abraham something and Charles Cross. They got in the same draft. Abraham Lucas. Okay. Sorry. They need an interior guy. And in fact, I think that might be a surprise spot for somebody like Graham Barton to go earlier than expected. That would not surprise me if Seattle took him at 16. But let's say Fatanu falls to say 17 or 18. You're talking about a move to go up two spots, three spots. What would that cost? Well, you have expected 2 third-round picks coming in next year. With Miami being a Super Bowl champion next season, they're going to be picking at 96 in the third round anyway. Those two picks are going to be 97 and 98. So you give up 96 to move from 21 and some other stuff, some fluff, you know, seventh rounders, whatever. But you move basically send a 2025 third and 21 to move up to 18 or 19. Would you do that for Troy Fatanu? I would absolutely consider it. Because, again, that dude in a zone blocking system like Mike McDaniel runs is going to – you know all those runs that we watched where Devon Achane would get out there, he would run up the middle and then cut it to the outside? Well, you're going to see that dude about 20 yards downfield bowling over some poor hapless safety. Same thing with Fuaga. PFF had him as the best zone blocking lineman in the draft. So – I don't know that I'd trade up for Fuaga, but I would definitely trade up for Fatanu because you're looking at him as the left tackle of the future. And if I'm not moving up really any farther than two or three spots because it's just too cost prohibitive.
Well, here's where I'm going to go ahead and interject and make my official designation for what I would really hope that the Dolphins focus in the first round. And my are very simple. I want somebody who I know for a fact is going to contribute regularly, not just, oh, maybe just in case. I need somebody who's going to be make an impact immediately. I'm getting sick and tired of this whole, I get the Chris Greer mentality. And Duke, you brought it up during the press conference. I'll even read the quote because he was talking about Teron Armstead and where they sit now with him and the idea that this might be his last season. So are they planning in the draft for that? And Greer said, quote, "I think you're always looking at your roster. You're always trying to take a 2-year look into the future, what it could be. We always knew that possibility could be with him. We're very respectful of his time, and to his credit, he's an incredible communicator. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years. He's a fantastic person, so I'm very glad he's coming back because he's impacted that room so much with those young guys and helped Austin Jackson. All those guys grow, and Liam Eichenberg, so having him is important. But you always look at every position when you kind of and try and anticipate what some of the issues could be in the future." So by that long-winded quote of Chris Greer, they look into the future. They don't look into the now, which I disagree with that mindset to an extent. If you have a Super Bowl window, and like it or not, whether you think Miami is a contender or not, this is their window right here. And you have to take it. They tried last week. They tried last season. Didn't work out. They just ran into too many injuries. They couldn't keep up. Tua obviously needed more help in the cold weather because everybody's talking right now in the comments about how it was freezing cold. And let me tell you something. There are literally fans who had to get their limbs amputated because of how cold it was. I'm going to put an asterisk on Tua's bad performance in that game, for real.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I understand cold weather games are a concern.
Eric, that goes beyond cold, bro.
Let me finish. There's a reason why people were talking about the weather for literally the entire 2 weeks leading up to that game. You don't play games in negative 35 in the NFL once, except for maybe every 40 years. So if you want to, if those are the scenarios you really want to be preparing for, I mean, sure, but you know, there's a lot more likely things that can trip you up over the course of a season. Granted, you have to prepare for cold weather, but there is no preparing for negative 35. I don't care what team you are, who you are, there just isn't.
I was going to say, Lewis, if you want to go back, if someone wants to go back and listen to the old Finsider Radio chats with me and Keith and Kevin and whoever else way back 10 plus years ago, I think I mentioned then, I think in 2015, that Miami needed to have a contingency plan for Brandon Albert. They needed to draft an offensive tackle. In 2016, that's what they did. Now, granted, Laremy Tunsil was supposed to be the first overall pick. He was the top guy in that class. The two quarterbacks went first and second. He would have been number three, and everything happened the way it did. So getting a guy like Tunsil was not to be expected for where Miami was picking. However, that's where I see a guy like Fatanu or Fuaga or whomever they would draft. That guy's playing guard this year. He's your left guard. You draft Troy Fatanu, however you get him. He's your left guard tomorrow. He's better than everybody else in that spot, Isaiah Wynn included. But then Teron Armstead's going to be gone in some way or form, whether it's retirement or whatever, and he moves over to your left tackle. I think he's got 34-inch arms, 6'4". Good movement skills. He's a good blocker. So it's a good thing like that. That's your contingency plan. I think that's what Greer's looking at. I noticed they brought in Tyler Guyton, I believe, for a 30 visit, a 6'8 monstrosity of a tackle. So I think they're looking at that. Now, I'm not a fan of bringing in a guy at 21 that's not going to play at all. But I can see the plan that they're looking for based on what he's saying. It's like, well, if we draft this guy, he may not play much this year, although most of the tackles and players that we have miss time. So the guy's going to get to, but you're looking at this guy is going to be our starter from 2025 on. So I agree with Greer with what he said there. I don't know. I'm just ready for it to be here so I can see who's there. I'm tired of trying to project who's there because it is, I don't know. It's just, it's wild. Yeah. And Amarius Mims, that's the one that's going on the chat now. Another behemoth at tackle, injury history. So he fits Miami's motif. Is that the route they go? Now, the question is, do you want a guy like that at guard? I mean, Tua's, 6'1", but he's still tiny. Compared to 6'6" or whatever Justin Herbert. Yeah, you're trying to throw over a 6'8" dude inside. NFL ready players. I think everybody that Miami could get is going to be an NFL ready player. I don't think there's any. I think Cam Smith was an NFL ready player, if we're honest about it. I think that was just a decision made by the staff. I don't think he liked it. Didn't he tweet as soon as Fangio left that he tweeted something like he was free or something to that effect. So I think he was ready to go. They just didn't use him. So I think they're good. But I've talked a lot. I think the only positions that they can really draft and screw this entire thing up is quarterback or running back. Everything else, and not counting specials, everything else is on the table, and everything else would find a need, find a spot, and they're going to play or contribute from day one.
I mean, that's the thing that really, this has probably been the least stressful draft season. Well, aside from not having a first-round pick last year, but this is more of in a positive manner. This feels like a year where the Dolphins really can't, to your point, Duke, this feels like a year where the Dolphins kind of can't screw up. There are, I can count on more than one hand for each pick, 21 and 55. Prospects that I would be very happy with and realistic prospects in those spots. So I don't really think, like you said, unless they go just completely way off the board and they go quarterback or running back, and there's no indication that they would. This is a very, very tough year to kind of screw up. We are giving Chris Greer some, this is like we're asking him to, sounds like a challenge. Yeah. You don't understand though. This is going into a restaurant and ordering chicken nuggets and french fries. If
you can absolutely mess those up. What the heck are you talking about, bro? If they cannot prepare you
chicken nuggets and french fries, they should not be operating a restaurant.
No, I agree on that front.
If Chris Greer can't deliver at least if you can't deliver this year. Now, granted, maybe the entire draft community is just wrong about this year's draft, and we all look back on it and we're like, oh man, we were so dumb. This draft was nowhere near as deep as we thought. Maybe that's a possibility, but it doesn't feel like it's sitting right here. And then just addressing Anthony's point about doubling down on offensive line. I mean, listen, if you're sitting at 55 and the best player on the board is an offensive lineman. Let's say a guy like Kingsley Sumataya somehow falls after you've taken an offensive lineman in round one. You absolutely run up to the board and you go and you take the guy that's going to be the best for your football team, regardless of position. And that's kind of the reason why they've done everything that they've done in free agency to this point is we want to make sure that we're settled at the very least with quality depth so that we don't feel compelled to, oh boy, we really need to draft, a defensive tackle this year. They haven't constrained themselves. The one thing that I will say, and the reason why I think that they ultimately will go offensive line in the first round, if I'm guessing on what they will do, is because given the news that Kendall Lamb and Toronto Armstead are both retiring. Well, not Armstead. Armstead, not officially, but I think it's really dubious his chances of playing in 2025, if we're being honest about that. If you don't take an offensive tackle this year in the first round, you are putting yourself in a position in 2025 where you are forcing yourself to take an offensive tackle. You have the option this year. You will not have the option next year if you skip out on the line. And I do think that that's something that's to be considered as well.
With the lone exception being if they have somehow hit on the acorn of Keon Smith. And I'm a fan of Keon Smith. And I would love nothing more than for him to step up and find a way to be a starter. That would be an awesome story. I love stories like that. Am I banking on that? No.
At this point, I want to see what he can do first before I just go ahead and draft Armstead's replacement. This is where, once again, we're about 10 minutes away from the show being over. I finally am going to make my final explanation here. The fact that Keon Smith is showing such incredible potential so early on, and he's an undrafted free agent. Okay, great. Cool. Miami may have found an incredible acorn that can potentially hold down the fort. And by the way, even if Keon Smith doesn't, we've seen some good things from Ryan Hayes, too. We can't ignore him either. So who knows? Maybe there may be something there with him. That guy is a consummate professional. He's got, like, athlete's blood in him from his parents. Both parents, actually. Like, this guy is fundamentally sound. That's very, very important for any left tackle. So, knowing all this, if I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to draft anybody in this draft, like I said, I want to be somebody I know for a fact is going to go in there and he's going to be the starter. And that's why my pick, quite frankly, is going to be an interior offensive lineman. And I know that somewhere, Junior from the Inside Leverage guys, they're on playback right now, and they're hearing me, and they're saying that, oh my God, he's one of those guys. He's been going on a long, he's going crazy with this is what people who think they should draft a guard at 21 look like. I'm like, okay, well, guess what, buddy? That's me. I'm the guy who wants the interior offensive lineman. I want somebody like a Graham Barton. If I'm going to be Miami. Like, I personally would not mind if you can get Jackson Powers Johnson. If you have to trade up in the second round to get him, I wouldn't mind so much, because at least then I know I got him and I can go ahead and make him a starter, a guard. I don't want any more question marks on this offensive line. You want Tua to take that next step that everybody's been wanting, hoping for, or hoping he doesn't take because you want a replacement that badly. But either way, if I want Tua to make the next step, I want him to be able to not have to throw the ball in 2 seconds or less, or he falls on his face. I just don't want that to be the case. That's just dumb. It's stupid that we have no choice but to build the offense this way. The fact that we can have an opportunity right now, we have Teron Armstead at left tackle. And if he goes down, you have Kendall Lamb. And if he goes down, you have Keon Smith, and we can finally see what he's doing. We have three layers of protection right now at left tackle. I'm okay with that. You have Aaron Brewer, who is going to be the center. He's probably the most athletic center in the NFL, and that's perfect for what the Dolphins are needing. And if you need something to happen with him, you can go after the fact and go to Liam Meichenberg if necessary. Not ideal, but we know he can do it. Right tackle is Austin Jackson. If something happens to Austin Jackson, you still have Kendall Lamb again. Maybe we see what happens with him. I don't want to hold my breath on Austin Jackson per se. So if you were going to go get a right tackle to be the backup, okay, I kind of get it. But again, I still want to just say, where are the spots that I don't know right now? Jack Driscoll at right guard. I know that the 3 yards per carry crew is talking about that. I'm not holding my breath on him yet. I don't know if you have any insight on him specifically, Duke. I don't know. I think you were talking about a Driscoll a few years ago, or what you thought of him. But
I mean, I would agree with your assessment. I think he'd play guard, and I think he could win the right guard spot if they don't draft his.
But is he going to be good, or is he going to be Well, because I want better than eh.
Well, that's good enough. I mean, you don't necessarily need an elite right guard. Generally, if you look at the offensive line, your right guard needs to be better than your left guard, or at least it's the kind of the old thought process. For a right-handed quarterback, it's flip-flop. So with Tua, you need a better left guard than you do a – because generally – I don't know where I read this or heard this, but generally the left guard usually gets the most help from the center. I don't know. I may be completely wrong about this, and I am. I apologize. But, yeah, I think he would be fine at that spot to the point that it wouldn't be a liability. And to your point, Lewis, that's why I'm fine with a guy like Troy Fatanu or Talese Fuaga at 21. Let's say – you get that guy at 21, and Keon Smith turns into the second coming of a great left tackle. I can't think of the guy's name. Richmond Webb. Thank you.
Do you think that? But before you keep going, do you think that Troy Fatanu is gonna sit there and say, you know what, I'm okay being a left guard? This man was a tackle. This man wants to be a tackle. This guy's not going to sit there and not be a tackle because he wants to get eventually paid as a tackle.
Well, Robert Hunt, a good, not great, guard, has got a $100 million contract. Fatanu,
I would call Robert Hunt great at guard.
He's not great at guard. He's good, not great. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not a Pro Bowler. I think
then he would
Fatanu,
be.
I think Fatanu, day one, could be a Pro Bowl guard. And that's at him being a tackle prospect. That's how good I think he is. You don't expect it, but let's say Keon Smith steps up and he's your next Richmond Webb.
But that's what I'm saying, though, Duke. Like, I get what you're saying. But Fatanu is still a human. It's not Madden where it's plug and play and everybody's okay with playing wherever. Wants to play tackle because he wants us to get paid as a tackle. As Robert Hunt got $100 million out of the Carolina Panthers, if he were playing tackle, he would have gotten 120. That's how it works.
Maybe. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think we're about to both say the same thing. Because let's all remember Laremy Tunsil, and Laremy Tunsil's got – a great deal with the Texans right now as a left tackle.
But he started playing left tackle.
Right, exactly. You don't think the Dolphins would communicate that to him on draft day?
Okay,
I think be communicated.
Eric, but the discussion is under the presumption that Fatanu will play tackle. Like, Keon Smith is irrelevant. It doesn't matter how well he plays. So it's like...
No, that's again, not how it works.
For a guy that you believe to be, for a guy like... Again, any offensive lineman you're taking at 21, you think with a decent amount of conviction that that guy is going to be there as a Pro Bowler for the next 10 years. You think you're drafting a Pro Bowl tackle for the next 10 years at 21, or a really good starter for the next 10 years at 21. Keon Smith, for as much promise as you might hope that he has, statistically speaking, it's just the value you're likely to get out of Keon Smith versus the value you're likely to get out of a guy at 21. This is just a really long-winded way of me saying, like, Keon Smith might have promise, but he's still not stopping me from taking an offensive lineman if they really believe that there's a Pro Bowl caliber guy there at 21.
But I want an offensive lineman. I just want an interior one specifically. A guy that I can plug in there and say, boom, left guard, boom, right guard, the next 5 years at least.
I mean, you're talking about a Powerball winning lottery ticket situation here with Keon Smith.
Keon Smith for next season. Listen,
that's what I'm saying. But here's
the reality, though. But listen, this is the thing. Again, we're talking about who's going to perform right this second. If I'm talking about that right now, you saying that Troy Fatanu is going to be can be an All Pro left guard. Okay, great, cool. But you have to promise him as a
rookie,
right? But you have to promise him that he'll be left tackle. So now, after he moves over,
promises in the NFL. They're not going to do that.
A player is not going to go. He's not going to play nice. Listen, man, Xavier Howard. You want to talk about people who get malcontents? The man signed a massive contract, and then 1 year later, held out because he wanted even more money. Troy Fatanu is, I don't know what kind of character he is. Maybe he's cool with it. Maybe he's not. But Troy Fatanu is going in there with the assumption, okay, fine, you want me to play left guard for 1 year and learn under Teron Armstead, who is an all-pro and a future Hall of Famer? Okay, I'm good with that. But if he has to compete with undrafted free agent dude over here, and there's actually a chance that he might lose that job to this guy, he's going to look at the Dolphins and say, like, you guys screwed me, because now I'm going to be stuck at guard.
No, that's not how it works. Number one, Keon Smith is a veteran. He's been in the league. He's played snaps in the league. So he's not an undrafted free. He's an undrafted rookie when he got him into the league, but he's a veteran player now. Secondly, I mean, you can't make promises like that, because you don't know what's going to happen. And again, it's a lottery ticket type situation. You're talking about a guy that has played 70 snaps of NFL football, somehow becoming an elite left tackle, that you wouldn't take this guy. And to Eric's point, what he mentioned earlier is, you, what if that doesn't happen and you take a guard that you know is going to be a guard? You take Jackson Powers Johnson. He's not playing outside.
I'm not taking him in the first round right now.
Yeah, well, but let's say you take Cooper Beebe, for example, is the guy I was in a discussion with. He's got 31-inch arms. He's not a tackle. You draft that guy, great. He's in the lineup. He's your starter for the next 5 years. You're still going to need a left tackle next year. And you're either banking on some kind of awesome development from a guy like Keon Smith, which I would love to see happen. But if a guy like Fatano is there, you make that choice. And if you get into a situation where it's like, well, we drafted this guy, we expect him to be left tackle, but now we've got the situation where we've got a first-round pick that can play tackle and this other guy who's playing awesome at tackle, that's a great problem to have. What you don't want to have is have no problems there. It's the exact opposite of the quarterback. You know, you say if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. Well, in this case, if you have two tackles, you're in good shape. If you have no tackles, you're in bad shape. And you don't want to be in a position where you're drafting, say, 25 or 26 next year and then needing a left tackle. And we don't know what that class is going to look like. Maybe it's great. Maybe you're fine. Maybe it's not. That's my take with the whole wide receiver position, is that we don't know what that class is going to look like. It may be great and it may not be. If you've got a chance to take the guy you want this year, go ahead and take him. Same thing with that left tackle. I'd rather be in a situation where Fatanu is mad because he's having to play left guard, because we have studs all over the offensive line, than be in a position where we don't have a left tackle at all, and suddenly we're having to pay some dude, free agent, who's probably a, you know, B-plus type player, $25 million a year because we can't draft one.
Yeah, that's the thing is ultimately, if you do end up having to pay somebody, you're going to end up overpaying. And, you know, to your point, Lewis, maybe Keon Smith does develop into a guy that can be a franchise tackle for them. The only other issue that I have with that is, on paper right now, on paper, granted, Keon Smith is your third left tackle, behind Teron Armstead and Kendall Lamb. Those two guys, it's unlikely that they play in 25. You're not going to get a, in theory, if things stay as they should, but, you know, we know how injuries can get over the course of a 17 game season. You're just really probably not going to get a ton of tape on Keon Smith this year, if all goes the way that it should on the offensive line. And that's the other unfortunate part, is like, if you told me that you were going to get significant tape on Keon Smith to make that evaluation on him, I'd feel a lot better about it. As far as making that decision for an interior lineman or a tackle. Now, fortunately, I think if you're going interior lineman in the first round, you're going Graham Barton. He's kind of the only guy on the interior that I think you're taking, and he can play anywhere on the offensive line as it is. So this conversation is kind of moot, because he can play at the tackle spots in a pinch if you need him to. So I, you know, all that to say, you know, as much as I like Keon Smith, I think he'll probably develop into a pretty good swing tackle, which would be fantastic, you know, kind of be what Kendall Lamb was for this team last year. I think taking, whether you take a tackle this year, move him to guard and keep him at tackle, or you take a guy like a Graham Barton and you have yourself a guy who can be a Pro Bowler along the interior for the next 10 years, I think you're fine. You know, and just having as much depth as possible there is the key thing. You know, that's the thing, is you're already looking at Keon Smith at the very least as decent quality depth, which is for an undrafted rookie, he's already winning. We've already hit on that guy.
All right. Well, I think we've exhausted this discussion as much as we can. So with that said, we're going to call it here. Next week, this is the exciting time. It's going to be a longer show, I'm sure, but 7-round mock draft, folks.
Are we drafting for the Dolphins, or are we
only
drafting
for the Dolphins?
Okay.
The computer is going to draft everybody else, but we're drafting for Miami. That's why it's 7 rounds.
So I assume with whatever simulator we use, there'll be trades available.
That is the intention. Yes, both Pro Football Network and Pro Football Focus have trades available. So, and I think it's going to be the PFN one, just because that's where the poll is currently leading us. And if that everybody says that's the best one, then so be it. We'll go from there.
Yeah, they give you I think PFF limits the amount of trades you can do on the
I mean, I haven't had that experience, but the thing with PFF is that PFF. The only thing with PFF is that they don't upgrade their big board. Like, even now, if you go to PFF and you try to draft with them, Jackson Powers Johnson still goes number one in the first round. I'm like,
they have their own standards. They don't.
Yeah, that's the thing, because they don't take into it. They don't update their board based on what everybody's been hearing.
There was I did a mock with PFN a few weeks ago, and I made a number of trades, and I ended up drafting 11 players in this draft, and I had 2 firsts, 2 seconds, 3 threes, 2 fours. A 5, 2 sixes, and 2 sevens for 2025. I mean, I made out like it was Madden or something. It was awesome. It was so unrealistic. It was so unrealistic. It wasn't even funny. But I was like, 28 players in the next 2 years. That's how you restock your roster. But that has about as much chance of happening as me being the starting quarterback for the Dolphins. So
I can't wait for next week. And there's so much stuff. We got so much stuff coming up, folks. The draft is coming up, and we've got plenty of stuff coming for you. So make sure you're keeping an eye on that. Once again, go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 5. That's FIBE. And they'll match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. Also, make sure that you haven't already done so. Make sure you go to OnlyFins. So OnlyFins is available for only $3 a month. The link is in the description. If you need the link URL, it's HTTPS. /discord.gg/onlyfins. I know I fumbled that really badly. Again, that's discord.gg/onlyfins. So you can go ahead and get on there. It's only $3 a month to get the best Dolphins talk in the world, to be perfectly honest, because it's better than Twitter. I'll say that. And make sure you tune into this. If you haven't watched it live, you can either watch it here, archived on the 5 Reasons Sports Network, or on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast feed after this show is over. So that's going to be it. We'll see you all next week. And this for another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions.
For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.